So let me just start by asking the obvious question, which is why now? Why do you want to represent Illinois in the U.S. Senate?
We are facing some real challenges here in our state and in our country, whether it is the declining middle class and growing wage disparity, the growing levels of violence, issues we're having with our criminal justice system and the break between law enforcement and the community. These are issues that I've worked on my entire life, in both professionally and in volunteer and appointed capacities. I'm passionate about them, and I did not see them on the front agenda of any other candidate in this race. No other candidate has the breadth of experience and the track record of getting things done. And I thought that this was just too important a race, and that's why I got in.
You mentioned a couple issues there. I mean, what do you think voters can expect you to focus on if you were elected right from the get-go in terms of being in Washington?
Well, you know, my priorities are, I think, the ones that are really important for working families in our state. The first is addressing the declining middle class and trying to create some economic opportunity and job creation. And we can do that a number of ways, investing in things like clean technology, which helps create job infrastructure investment. You know, there is some bipartisan support in Washington for a strong infrastructure bill. We, at the Urban League, where I was, we used infrastructure investment along the CTA line to help make sure that jobs from that project got into the community and helped to create jobs in the community. So that's one other way that we can do it. Number two is criminal justice reform. I think those two actually are tied very closely together. We over-incarcerate too many people in this country, and making sure that when they come out that they have pathways into jobs and economy, and decriminalizing some of the things. We send people to jail that don't need to be in custody, and that has long-term costs for us. And the last is comprehensive immigration reform. We have to find a pathway to bring the millions of people who are undocumented in this country into real engagement, legal engagement, and a pathway, and then we can fix our broken immigration system.
As you talked about those issues, particularly criminal justice, those are some issues that have received bipartisan support in Washington. We're at a point now in Washington where we're seeing, certainly President Obama has made the discussion of the tenor of bipartisan politics, the bitter nature of partisan politics, such an issue for him. And as we're thinking in particular, I'm thinking about President Obama's plans to nominate a new Supreme Court justice and what a partisan fight that has become. I want to first start by asking what you think the president should do in this situation.
Well, I think the president absolutely should nominate someone for the Supreme Court opening. It's part of his responsibilities. It's also part of the Senate's responsibilities to review and vote on that nominee. That's one of the most important things that they do. We can't wait. The Supreme Court can't just sit around and wait for months while we handle our political things. So I think he should nominate. And the Senate should review and assess based on who he nominates. And I think he's made it very clear he's going to try and nominate someone that can be assessed that's not hard from an ideological perspective one way or the other, which I think would be terrific. But this is so important.
If the president were to nominate a Republican and you were a sitting senator, how would you feel about that?
I think the issue for me is not about the partisan label. The issue is about their perspective as a judge. I assume competence and excellence is going to be there. So the question then is, what's their judicial philosophy in terms of applying the law to the facts? One of the challenges I had with Justice Scalia was his view was the law, the Constitution, be interpreted the way the framers thought of it in the 17th century. Well, okay, at the time, the word equality did not include people who look like me. So I don't really agree with that interpretation. I think we need to have someone who's going to imply the law, understanding the beauty of the Constitution, that it does grow with changing times, and can look at those facts and reflect them honestly in their assessment of the law. So I think that's really important. Someone who's got a firm ideology one way or the other, I think it's going to be a challenge as a judge because you can't predict what's going to come up in front of the court. You know, I've worked with a lot of Republicans over the course of my career. I worked with a Republican at the state's attorney's office, and under that Republican state's attorney, we got a hate crimes law that included sexual orientation in the 90s. We created the night drug courts that focused on making sure that people who have possession crimes not go to jail but be treatment. So let's not worry about labels. Let's worry about content and what kind of judge they're going to be.
You mentioned your past experience, and I wonder what about that in particular you think lends itself to dealing with the increasingly partisan nature of politics that we're seeing in Washington.
I think my unique background, having worked public sector, private sector, not-for-profit sector, working with people on the ground at the street level, working with senior corporate executives, means that I bring already a diversity of experience dealing with people that have different backgrounds and perspectives and that I don't always agree with, but always trying to get things done. I have a real focus on outcomes and results. That's a real problem for us today with our elected officials, right? We have this default to gridlock that everyone seems comfortable with, but at the ground level for people living in our state in particular, there's real harm going. I mean, look at what we're doing to our students in Illinois right now. We've taken away their MAP grants. They're worried about whether or not their public colleges are going to close. You know, they already have a tremendous amount of stress, and these are the young people who fought hard to get into school, and now because our elected officials can't get their act together, we're saying, well, you know, Chicago State's going to cut their semester. That's outrageous, and I'm focused on the impacts to those young people and making sure that as a U.S. senator, I'm working to get things done for people. And that's a real focus that I think is so important and why I think I bring a unique perspective to this race.
Speaking of education and young people, I want to ask you one last question that's an issue that's been raised by your opponents, and it's some decisions that were made when you were on the CPS board. And in particular, I'm talking about with Chicago Public Schools, the historic closing of 50 schools, and also your vote in the no-bid process contract that led to former CEO Barbara Bird Bennett now pleading guilty to federal public corruption charges. What do you say to people who say that those decisions and voters who think maybe they can't trust you because of how you voted on those issues?
So first, on the school closing, incredibly difficult decision, but focused on what was in the best interest of the students. People often talk about the school closings, but very rarely ask, what are the students doing now? The studies that have been done shows that 90%+ of those students are in better learning environments today than they were. That was the idea, to make sure that the district is delivering education to students that they deserve. That's why I made that very hard decision. It was best for students, and that's where where the outcomes are showing that we are. In terms of Dr. Bird Bennett, she came here with a scheme to defraud that we did not know about. It was horrible and offensive and wrong, but she also came here with a strong track record of being an educator and leader in urban school districts. We relied on her, and that was unfortunate, but because she was a criminal, and we did not know that at the time.
Andrea Zopp is a candidate for the U.S. Senate. The primary is on March 15th. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.